Be'ezus Hashem, we are in Torah of Zion. This is the third shir. We are starting from paragraph Zion, V'davka b'mara, Kiblu Shabbos Shalom. And this is going to be really the last main topic that we're discussing in this Torah, which brings it together. Summing up, to bring us up to be able to discuss this next point. So using Rav Chaim Kramer's note, he says that the degree to which Shalom prevails directly determines the extent to which people can share the truth by engaging in honest dialogue. And we explain this idea to understanding what is Shalom. It's not the absence of conflict. It's not even necessarily two people who are traveling towards the same goal, because that could be circumstantial. That could just be I need something and you need something, and in order for me to achieve my needs, I need your help, and for you to achieve your needs, you need my help. So then, you know, for at least the time being, for this moment in time, we are joined together in a particular project. But the truest sense of Shalom in the way that we've been discussing is a truly complementary relationship, and more than just complementary relationship. I mean, there's a lot of different examples we could use. Rav Aaron Feldman, in the beginning of The River, the Kettle, and the Bird, discusses a similar idea. But one example that we were using is, let's say, a puzzle, where besides for the fact that the overall picture does not express itself as a vision, as a picture, without all the individual pieces, each individual piece only finds meaning and finds expression of its individuality in the context of being part of the broader whole. So Shalom is not just a bunch of individuals that individually have the same purpose, but they are both individuals with their own task and as part of the whole. And we've discussed this in the past. And we talked about it in Torah Beis in terms of individuals perfecting their piece of the Mishkan, and then the tzaddik being really providing the management, the CEO, the purpose that brings it all together. We discussed Hisparus in Torah Yitzayin. So in our Torah, we said that in order to achieve Shalom, where there's honest dialogue, right? In other words, there's 600,000 different viewpoints among the Yiddish people, which means that no individual lens can be the entire truth, and yet each one within the context of others can find its balance to complement the entire vision, and that is what provides honest dialogue, being able to have the confidence to provide one's opinion and have the anava, have the humility and have the understanding to also be open to see somebody else's point of view and how they ultimately are driving towards a purpose that really is higher than both of us, and ultimately Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who, from top down, generated all of these pieces, these individual points of view, so that we can work backwards and bring everything back to the source to find the gilui, where everything is part of one system. So once we can define and subscribe to this shalom, so this shalom actually provides the context for the entire world, and everything in the world will ultimately fall into the system. So how do we reach this shalom? We said through Ha'aras Panim, through Taira, the blueprint of the world, Ratzon Hashem, the Chachma Lekos, and through Hadras Panim. As we said that we really divided them up. We said that Hadras Panim is the Yud Gimel Midas HaTaira. This is really the prerequisite, but this leads to the Ha'aras Panim. As far as the Hadras Panim is concerned, we linked it to the Yud Gimel Midas HaTaira Shendrash and Drasbehem, but also to the Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim. And therefore, we said, to the extent that one refines the Yud Gimel Midas, then this leads to Ha'aras Panim and ultimately to Shalom. However, we talked about another concept in parallel to developing Torah, the Ratzon Hashem, all going into the divine plan, the blueprint of the world. We associated with Kail Rina also, which is Tefillah. Many of the Torahs talk about the dynamic between Torah and Tefillah. And we said that Kail also, interestingly, so as we've been discussing, sort of how do you bring all of the pieces in line? How do you bring all of the puzzle pieces together? By understanding the ultimate vision that came before the puzzle was cut up into the individual pieces. In a certain sense, Kail and Dibor, subscribing to Kail, developing the truth of Kail, the voice that comes even before the articulation of words, that also goes to the heart of an emotion, to the heart of purpose. And as one refined the Yud Gimel Midas of Taira, they are also refining and perfecting the Kail Rina and Tefillah. And we read this into the word Zakein, like that we said, the 13 Yud Gimel Midas, the Harachman, the Yud Gimel Drasha Tarjasbehen, but also the Yud Gimel in a certain Kabbalistic framework, the 13 points of the beard. And we said a beard in Hebrew is Zakein. Zesha Kana Chachma is associated with Chachma, but Kana is also the windpipe, is also a reference to the Kail, is also a reference to this voice. And we continued on to say that, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in the everyday. I mean, this is the practical takeaway. We get caught up in all of the conflicting considerations, what we have to do in life. How does a person get out of that? So the first thing a person can do is step back and understand what is the driving purpose behind all of this. Yes, there's all these pieces in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to give. The way that I am going to make myself into a kli is to be a mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shefa. Everything that I have in life is a way to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tool for me to utilize. It's a tool for me to understand, to connect back to the source. And therefore, when I just don't even have the words, I'm confused, I'm all over the place, I have all of these differing points of conflict, of drives, what I do is I connect back upwards. Let me rise a level above before all of that conflict started, and that's going to be based on the global midos, that's going to be based on Kyle, and through this voice, even without articulation, I'll be able to arouse the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and elicit Shefa from above. And we said that achieving this voice, achieving this Hadras Panim, which is associated both with the Torah, but with the Koil, we referenced the Shiras Hayam and Yosef HaTzadik. We said that that is contingent on Shmiras Habris in Yanim. So now we're going to continue in the text in paragraph Zayin. As we now understand that this entire Torah is focused on Shalom and how to achieve Shalom, Shalom is achieved Dafka b'mara. So after Kriyas Yamsuf, the next stage is the Klal Yisrael went to Mara, which literally means bitterness, and that is where they receive the mitzvah of Shabbos, Shabbos Shalom, and we're going to talk about how Shalom is actually enclosed in bitterness. I actually want to say just another couple of words before we read it in the text. Using our mashal, why is Shalom enclosed, as it were, in bitterness? So let's use the mashal that we had of the puzzle. Before you cut up the puzzle, before there's putting together the pieces, or even those pieces exist, the reality is that there's clarity, there's a structure, there's a tzura, there's a picture, there's a message coming from this picture. When a person, you know, takes a pen, takes a knife, and they carve that picture into pieces, they still all fit together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to, in part, give us the gift of having a world where there's going to be a giloy of Yehuda Yisbarach. An example that we've said in the past is I can show you a set of directions, a way to put together a Rubik's Cube, whatever it is, and you will say that is a good way. There might be alternate ways. You can accept what I say because you trust me. But if I say, go nuts, here are all of the possible ways to approach anything. And after you examine the full scope of everything possible, you come to the idea that not just a way, not just the best way, but everything is really leading back full circle. The only expression is actually the principle of MS that we started off with. That becomes the greatest gilui possible because it's not a bunch of ideas that are expressing the same thing. It's actually breaking everything into pieces and having everything scatter to ultimately come back and say that, no, everything is really leading to one place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, and for purposes of my mashal, took this picture of MS, as it were, and divided it up into a bunch of different pieces. And those pieces were each one thought itself an individual. Each one had its own priorities. It thought that it could express its own message or maybe create a different picture that might make sense in its own right. And maybe some of them were even jagged edges. And therefore, he gave us the avoda and he gave us the pleasure and the reward and the satisfaction of being able to contribute to bringing about the gilui of this picture. Not just being a shliach and spoon feeding us all of the answers, but allowing us, giving us the guidance, giving us the Torah, giving us Chazal and the Tzaddikim, to be able to bring about this Gilui and appreciation of this Gilui, where everything in the world is ultimately part of the system and expressive of the same message. But what that means is that Shalom existed in a certain sense. It wasn't even Shalom. We say that Shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's only Ein Sofius, if Shalom is a complementary pieces, when there's no idea of pieces, there's only one, there's only Ein Sofius. So in a certain sense, you could say that Shalom doesn't necessarily express itself as such, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he created the multiplicity so that we could find unity in the multiplicity. And now that means that the process leading back to Shalom, of Shalom expressing itself, is going to be a refinement, right? It's going to be a repositioning of each individual piece, and like we said, shaving down of refining the pieces, not just so that good wins over evil, but that evil is rishus kashin tichla, it doesn't even exist. And therefore, I think that this is one expression of understanding that Shalom exists in the Mariras. It takes hard work because it's not just an expression of truth, it's an expression of the truth. And also, it's going back to everything going back to the source. It's hard work. It's a repositioning. It's taking those things that seem to be different and coming to the realization, not just ignoring them and not just layering the right answer over the wrong answers, but digging deep into understanding almost an identity crisis, where you have to understand that everything is actually coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing everything back to its source. And this demands a tremendous work, tremendous sacrifice, bringing a karban, sacrificing those. I define myself as physicality, and I'm going to be able to sacrifice those considerations, those priorities, to bring myself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I am nullifying that animal aspect of myself that is that's a Mesiris Nefesh. And that Mesiris Nefesh is going to trigger HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give me additional light, additional Shefa, once I refine my Kli. So now, V'dafka b'mara, it's specifically in Mara, literally defined as bitterness, Kiblu Shabbos Shalom, Kichein, Derech HaShalom Lehislabesh b'mara, because the way of Shalom is enclosed in bitterness. B'chinas, Hine L'Shalom, Mar Li Mar. Now, this is a pasuk that we're actually going to come back to, but for our purposes right now, this is a reference to that Rav Chaim Chaim explains during Sancheirav's siege. The Yidden davened HaKadosh Baruch when they were promised a miraculous Yeshua, and on the night of Pesach, Sancheirav's entire army was stricken. It was utterly destroyed by an angel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was part of the prophecy that Yeshaya Hanavi had brought to Chizkiya Melech 3 days before Pesach, but at the same time that Yeshaya Hanavi had told Chizkiya Melech of the unbelievable miracle, the unbelievable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would perform, he also prophesied the king's impending death. Now, Chizkiya Melech ultimately refused to despair, and he did tshuva, which we're going to talk more about. He was given additional years of life, and he took on the family, Mesaira, tradition, heritage of tefillah. But in any event, this pasuk, Hinei L'Shalom, Mar Li Mar, at the same time that he heard about Shalom, he heard about this unbelievable miracle, it was also bittersweet. He also had this meriris, this negative news. K'mosha Kasev Harafuos Heim Besamim Marim. That refuos are come in the form of a bitter pill. Refua, which we're going to relate to as shalom, comes in the form of bitterness. It's part of the process. Kein hashalom shu refua l'chol dvarim. So to shalom, which is essentially refua. When a person is ill, the way that the Sfarim speak about it, that a person has different bile, there's different biological functions going on in a person, and they all, I mean, if a person learns about biology, it could really turn a person into a maimon. When something goes wrong, a person has a headache, you know, whatever it is, you know what that means? That out of the 800 billion trillion things in the body that are going right, one of them is going wrong, and therefore a person is focused on it. If a person would really understand how many processes go on in their body, there is a tremendous amount of things going on that all rely on each other to the nth, to a hair's degree. And therefore, when a person needs a refuah, what they're doing is they're restoring shalom, as we described it, among their bodily functions. Similarly, when we do tshuva, by the way, when we need a Yeshua, striving towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially a relationship between the neshama and the guf going together, not being out of balance, where the guf is not weighted towards the priorities of the guf, not in a spiritual way, and ultimately the mitzvahs maisis that we do is leveraging physical things in this world that were given to us specifically. This world is not an afterthought. This world is the stage through which we are here to grow and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim are on a spiritual plane, and the Malachim do not have the opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea of a refuah, the idea of a Yeshua, is ultimately a function of restoring shalom. Bebechinas shalom l'rachayk v'lakarayv Amar Hashem refusiv. This is another pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, also relating to Chizkiya Melech. And this actually also links to tefillah, I guess you could say, to using the lips. The full pasuk is Bayre Nivs Fasayim Shalom Shalom L'Rachayk V'Lakarav Amar Hashem Refasiv. We see from this pasuk that it says that Shalom will be restored to those far and those near. which we saw in the beginning of this Torah, that Shalom restores striving towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the entire world, Urefasiv, and it links Refuah to Shalom. Now, we're going to mention one point also, which I think is really a life-changing point. It really comes from the Tanya, but it's something to put a peg in and think about for later. Meriris is bitter. Is bitter bad? Right? Or fu is not bad. A person needs an operation and they don't have that operation, or they need medication, they don't have it. They're very happy when they get it. They're davening for it. So meriris is not bad. For a person that doesn't understand the refuah, a kid who has to take that medicine, he may cry. So when it comes to meriris, it might be hard, but it's not bad. Actually, it's energizing. It's invigorating. We cannot refuse meriris with atzvos. So an example that I'll give, I may have given it before, is a person wants to run a marathon. He wants to run a 3-hour marathon, you know, one of the gold standards, and he hits 3 hours and 3 minutes or 1 minute. At that point, he is energized to just ramp up his training to be able, the next time he's going to come in even 10 minutes faster, and he uses this in front of him, this idea that he did not meet success the first time, as something that is going to energize and push him through, create motivation for him to do even better. At that point, there's meriris, but it's directionally, it's a positive, it's directionally. Atzvus, lethargy, yish, the person now all of a sudden loses motivation, there's no point in trying anymore, that is directionally negative. So the meriris and atzvus, potentially we can say over here, they, in one sense, they might seem to say, oh, almost they're synonyms, meriris and asfa, sadness and bitterness. They're actually, couldn't be farther from the truth in how we're using them, and a person has to calibrate. They have to understand, where is my emotion coming from? How am I utilizing this? Atzfus, during, let's say, cheshben and nefesh, feeling badly about oneself, maybe there's a place for it, but it would have to be compartmentalized, because otherwise it would leak into everything else. If a person feels badly about something, so now not only they feel badly about what's worth feeling bad about, that's also going to pull back on the things where they should be energized. It's going to hold them back. And therefore, in terms of avoda, atzvus has to be dealt with one way. However, merirus has a totally different place. This is actually what can be leaned into in a way that is energizing, that achieves shalom. Period. So now, further, so we said that specifically, shalom is specifically tied to meriros, and we gave a bunch of mishalim. Vilif amim hachulsha goyveres kol kach. There are times when the illness, the weakness, where a person put himself because of his averus, really, right? Had a person just taken that first opportunity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented him with an opportunity, they're only one step removed from the end goal, there's a certain amount of hard work, and now they could have gone straight to the goal. And because we positioned ourselves instead of, we were, let's say, 1 degree off of center, we turned directionally very much different, we leaned into other gashmias, other priorities, we created not just a little bit of a jagged edge, but we made our edge even more jagged. So now there's a problem, because now it takes that much more meriris, that much more repositioning and shaving down, that much more work to get towards clarity than we would have otherwise had. But we don't necessarily have the muscles to deal with that. We didn't necessarily become stronger. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a project where we had the perfect amount of strength to deal with the meriris, the hard work, and that would be necessary to get to back to the source. We positioned ourselves where now it's going to be take that much more effort, and yet we never built those muscles, the additional strength that we would need to get back to the source. So we're in a little bit of a catch-22 here. We want to do tshuva, we're so far away, and yet we don't have the strength to achieve it. And therefore the illness is so much where the chayla can't handle the bitterness and the refuah to heal himself. Vaz harayfim maishchan yideim in a chayla, v'miyashim aysay, two different ways of learning this. Rav Chaim Kramer brings either the doctors give up, or because of the doctor's reaction, perhaps the patient ultimately gives up. But this is a problem. So how are we going to bring ourselves back? When the avoinais, the sins that we engaged in, both in terms of philosophical sins, sichlidik sins, gashmiyasik sins, but we positioned ourselves far away, they become very powerful. Now we need to bear the yisurim as a kaparo, the hard work. And I mean, I think we described in a way that makes sense to me, that's a rational way. We spent our efforts going the wrong way, so now we were going down the mountain instead of up, but at what point did we develop the muscles necessary? We put ourselves in the position where it's becoming hard. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the perfect tools that we needed for our job. Va'az, the pasuk says, Ein Shalom Amar L'Rasham. The Rasham are not going to be going to get back to Shalom. How are we going to address this? The true Rasham are not going to have Shalom because it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fault. It's their own doing. They're experiencing the consequence of what they're doing. But here I am, and I want to do tshuva. I'm plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do I balance out? How do I understand? How do I climb out of the hole that I myself dug? So here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have Rachmanus on us by plugging in. Chizkiah Melech engaged tefillah. He engaged the koil. It lifted him above the mud that he was sunk in. What was the mechanism to do that? So let's take a step back. Again, why are we in this matzav where we experience ra, where we experience this bechira, this taiv against ra, this tremendous confusion? Really, for a very specific reason, the Yetzer Hara is our coach. He's giving us resistance in order to become stronger. Now, I have a problem because I want to achieve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose for why this entire system is in place. And because I didn't, because of my own actions, I'm unable to do so. But now, I'll clean up the spilled milk afterwards. Let me just plug into purpose for which is there to begin with. What do I do? I have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, the purpose for which I had these tests was to bring about a gilui. I now recognize that I'm willing to do it. But what can I do? Because I am now very deep in the hole because I didn't realize that yesterday. I need help. Therefore, comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is able to allow us, create a system to ignore the consequences of this Avera. And now we're going to go back to the Pasuk that we quoted before by Chizkiyahu. Hinei l'shalom mar li mar. There is this shalom, this amazing nes, and yet it's bitter for me. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, on his level, he did an Avera, which was Shmiras Habris associated. He had a nevuah about what the nature of his son would be, and therefore he did not engage in pruervu, and this was the avera for which he was going to experience punishment. And there's a gemara in brachas that explains the conversation between Yeshaya Navi and Chizkiyahu Melech, where he davened and he was granted more years of life, and they made a shidduch. And he did have an opportunity to rectify the Shmiras Habris issues by leveraging tefillah again, which was the heritage of the Beis David of Klal Yisrael. So he says, "L'shalom alimar va'ata," but you chashakta nafshi, you wanted me, you desired me, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired me, mishachas bli ki heshlachta achrei gevecha kol chatoi. You desired that my nefesh not become destroyed. Bleib is like the blood to waste away. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decided that I should not waste away. I have these strengths. Maybe I should have applied them earlier, but I didn't. And therefore, in the psukim, he says, you cast away all of my sins behind yourself, as it were. Now, we're going to see later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mevater. So there has to be a system where ultimately a balance is achieved. These sins are there. They're going to have to be dealt with. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to achieve the purpose for which the Nisayon is there to begin with, excuse me, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing, as it were, in order to achieve the purpose of the system itself, to ignore those averis. And therefore, this is our approach. This is what we learn now from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, from Yeshaya HaNavi, that if we can attach back to the koil, that shalom is achieved through merirus necessarily. What do we do when the merirus is such that we don't have the strength to endure it in order to achieve the shalom? That's where we can rectify again. Chizkiya rectified Shmiras Habris issues, to attach to kol, to attach to tefillah, to be able to overcome so that he could bear the meriris, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his rachmanus for us, the Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah, this is the Hadras Panim associated with kol, gives us the meriris that we can bear so that we can achieve the purpose of why this project is there in the first place. Vizat Sheshiba Chizkiyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this, now we understand the psukim through the lens of Panemius. Shehishla kol chatasav achar ksefo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw the sins over his shoulders, were kviyachol, overlooked the sins. Kadesh shelo yitzarach lahalbishes hashalom v'merirus harbe, so that the shalom would not be enclosed in a merirus that wouldn't be able to be withstood. V'zeh hinei l'shalom mar li mar. Now back to the pasuk that we just read. Hainu zeh yadua ki l'shalom tzarech mariris. We understand that the shalom requires mariris, but we can't handle it. V'ato chashak the nafshi mered ha-shachas. A little bit different than the pasuk we read, but okay, the words are quoted a little bit differently, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired to save my soul from Misa, not from going down to Sheol, ki yodata, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew she'ein bi kayach lizbo meriris lefi chatasi, that it's because of chatasi, it's not because of no blaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no blaming circumstances, no blaming the world. This is the consequence of what I did, and this is what I'm willing to rectify. The problem is that I'm too weak to bear the consequences, to climb the mountain, to climb up the hole that I dug myself. But now I want to engage in purpose. So what do I do practically? I attach to the source. I have to go a level up. I attach through tefillah, through Shmiras HaBrish, through Shmiras HaBris, through Yidgim Abidis Rachmim, and I engage at this level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rachmim, before there's Din, before there's the Einish, before there's the Gvuris, at that level of Yidgim Abidis Rachmim, the Yidgim Tikune Dikna, Vishlach Ta'achar Gaivecha Kol Chatoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to ignore the Chatis, as it were, Kadesh is Lavish Hashalom B'Mariris Kefi Yecholto, so that we only have to endure the Mariris Kefi Yecholto. Now, just because, before we just finish this paragraph, I'm going to read just from Rav Chaim Kramer, one of the most amazing notes that we've read. I think they're all amazing. He says, page 163, note 58, he says, so this is really Vayimaru Eschayim, this is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Golus, but it's the all-encompassing Golus. It wasn't for an Einesh per se, as we relate to the other Dalet Galios, but Mitzrayim was itself, it's a refinement, it's a core Basel. It was the Mariris to bring out the Shalom so that we could be Goy Mikarev Goy, so that we could attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leading towards Sinai. And ultimately, there also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says that when we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say it is part of the Haggadah. This is what broke us out of this situation. And Rav Nosson continues. I mean, this is again, mark this, tag this, print this up. Rav Nosson continues. This same idea applies to each individual. Bitterness is a necessary remedy for healing illness of the soul as well as the body. This we've described. When a person needs this refuah, he needs this healing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is really just part of the spiritual physics of how we achieve shalom. But again, we have this problem. We have this catch 22. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide the appropriate bitter remedy in small doses. Again, that is not being a mevater, right? There's ways that a person can have rip the band-aid off, and then sometimes you do it slower. They both have a mile and a chisaron, but if a person can't handle the pain, then we can do it in slower, smaller doses so that we get everything that we need, but it's able to be handled in a way that we can that we can absorb and not get distracted from. Even so, says Rav Nosson, he's at the moment in a state of judgment. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enclosed the bitterness in manageable amounts, that does not free him from his own Yetzer Hara. Okay, listen very closely. What is this Yetzer Hara at this point? To complain about the bitterness that he's getting. Now remember, this bitterness is not bad. This bitterness is actually a gift from Hashem. The actual Marirus, which wouldn't have been bad either, is what he created that he needs Shalom, but he can't get past it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gift and redesigns the bitterness in order that he can achieve Shalom, achieve his greatness, his self-actualization. But what happens? He sees the bitterness. Do I deserve it? He totally recategorizes the bitterness. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything so bad. And he fixates on it. Instead of thank you, Hashem, for everything I'm receiving, which I understand is only part of a process to bring about my greatness and the greatness and the perfection of myself, my family, my community, and the world. Thank you for giving it to me in a way. Without this, I would have no purpose. Without the Mariris, the puzzle is complete. We're only in the world in order to be able to refine this. Instead of saying thank you, Hashem, he has feelings that rebel against this diminished suffering as bad. I don't deserve this. Now, says Rav Nosson, should he succumb to these feelings and balk at the lesser doses of bitterness, so then why is Hashem giving me the gift if I'm not going to utilize the gift? I don't need the gift. So if I take away the gift, where am I? I'm back at the level of Yisurim and suffering, Chas v'shalom Rachmana Litzlan, that really the hole that I dug for myself, and there's nothing right or wrong about that. That actually just is. That is not a reward or punishment. It's the hole that I dug myself. And therefore, the dosage will be increased, okay? Because now I'm just going to end up where I belong. If I'm willing to attach myself to the purpose for why I'm in the world, the purpose for why the suffering is there in the first place, the purposes of the challenge, so then Hashem will allow the purpose of this challenge to trump the bitterness that I really deserve. But if I'm not there and I'm just engaging my Yetzer Hara to complain, So then I don't get the benefit of that gift. And then he says, that's why there's no shalom for Rishayim. There's no peace for the wicked. Listen to this line. This is because suffering, the Mariris, is a must if a person is to ultimately attain true peace, quotes Torah's Nassan. As Rabbi Nachman once said, if you don't want to suffer a little, you'll suffer a lot. Okay, this is, we could speak for 5 hours about this, but go back, replay it, print it up, do whatever you have to do. This is an entirely new way of understanding Mariris. It's an entirely new way of understanding challenges and opportunities rather than things that are directionally negative. It's an entirely new way to embrace everything that happens in life as invigorating and exciting in order to grow. And it's a new way to appreciate every challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us as being directionally positive. And just to finish off this paragraph, Vizeh Avram, Vavram Zokain, Avram, so we said that this Lashon of Zokain relates to Hadras Panim, which leads to Ha'aris Panim, which leads ultimately to Shalom, and Hadras Panim is the Zokain, it's the Chachma, it's the beard, it's the Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim, it's the Kana, it's the Kol, Aydei Zokain Hanal, through this Zokain, through all of these ideas, Aidezev Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted HaKadosh Baruch Hu a blessing of Kol Bakol Zeshalom Kamosh Kosov Oiseh Shalom Uvari Esakol. So if Kol links to Shalom, when did Avram Avinu get the bracha of Shalom? Because Avram was Zokain, he engaged in Avram Shmir Sabris, obviously is Avram Avinu is the symbol of this, led to this idea of Hadras Panim leading to Shalom, Zeshalom Kamosh Kosov Oiseh Shalom Uvari. Okay, next paragraph. V'shalom begufo. So now that we said that shalom, which is refuah, is coming from bitterness, we're going to bring again Yaakov Avinu. It says that Yaakov Avinu came, the pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov shalom to ir Shechem. And Rashi over there, Rav says, shalom begufo, shalom b'mamano, shalom b'taraso. The note over here brings Rashi, brings the Marsha, but that Yaakov Avinu was shalom in his guf, the limp that he had was healed. He came shalom in his neshama, in his taira, that Yaakov Avinu spent time learning. We'll see in Beis Medrash Shem Ve'er before he went to Lavan, and he was shalom in his Torah, shalom in his neshama, and by his mamon, which we'll explain. So shalom begufo Shabbos Lamed Gimel Darshul Pasuk Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov came complete. Shalem begufo shalem b'mamono, and again also shalom b'taraso ba'arba maros. So what's shalom begufo? He was with all of, again, the maros, or like the biles, all of the biological functions. Shalot his gabra achas al chavrata. He was in a perfect balance. Shalom b'mamano. Shalot yeh buzz zeva ochel azek moshe amr bas nakdimon ben gurion. This relates to a Gemara where the general idea of the Gemara was that when not enough, in a particular context over there, that shalom b'mamono implies having faith and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving tzedakah benevolently and trusting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide them with whatever they need. That money, we've addressed at length the idea of mamon as a vehicle of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara over there says this daughter of Nakdim Ben Gurion said that her family had not given enough meiser, and therefore the rest of the money, one came and devoured the other. The insufficient meiser, the wealth became mixed with the other wealth, and that they both disappeared. Her father-in-law's wealth disappeared. But shalom b'mamono means that a person is relating within the appropriate context, that all of the money is. Preserving is preserved because the tzedakah goes where it's supposed to go. The money that's meant for me goes where it's supposed to go, and therefore it's subject to bracha. V'shalom b'taraso, which also, by the way, is an idea of bringing back to the source, right? In other words, when you give tzedakah, you give the first things. I'm taking this and understanding the source of it. That's part of the avoda. The Mishnah says you're not supposed to estimate maaseris. In other words, no, I was given 10 things. 9 are for me, and one of it is for the aniyim. One of it is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kurim, the challah, the meiser, things have to come off the top. This is connecting back to source where it's a statement of where it came from. And shalom b'taraso b'loy kushyus, without any questions, right? Lavan was ha'arama. It was wily. Yaakov Avinu, before he went to Lavan, he plugged into the ultimate blueprint of the world. He spent time in Shem Ve'Ever. Yaakov Avinu was ishtam, yoshiv olim. Tam is shalem. Tam is, in a certain sense, simple, right? When we say simple, it doesn't mean that there's no, the higher you go, the more yichud you go. First of all, simple, we'll say, as opposed to confusing or convoluted, but it doesn't mean that things aren't complex. There could be complexity if everything is working together in unison. The higher up you go, the more, like we said, the more unity there is, the simplicity there is in the multiplicity. The more that you see that I have a vision, my vision requires multiple pieces. Those pieces have to work together. But the higher up you go towards my initial vision, the more whole, the more complete, the more simple it is. Yaakov Avinu was so plugged into that simple, complete yichud alignment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there was nothing to get confused by, even after he left Lavan and he had to deal with him on his own terms, but he himself didn't become convoluted. It's a big Yetzirah that if I have to deal with you on your own terms, so I start digging in, I start creating my arguments, and my arguments are really just in response to you, but you could forget to be anchored in the MS. So he's Va'az Vayavai Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. And with all of these things, Yaakov came Shalem to Ir Shechem, which was a Goyish city. Yaakov being Shalem, going back to the beginning of the Torah, when a person has the Shalem. Yaakov Avinu, we says, it was Reishis Aina. Yaakov Avinu had Shmir Sabris. Yaakov Avinu achieved Shalem. Yaakov was Chachma. Yaakov was Torah. This brings Shalem. And with that, he came Shalem, Shalem to Ir Shechem, to bring Shalem even to the Umais. And with this, we're going to plug it back into the Maamar Chazal from the beginning of this particular Torah. But again, I mean, we've been summing it up as we went along, understanding, appreciating Shalom as we described. It's not so much that good triumphs over evil. It's not so much that the Yidden are successful and other things are subservient. It's that once you achieve Shalom, once you take all of the pieces, they're all repositioned. Directionally towards understanding their own shlemus in the context of a greater shlemus, understanding my job as an individual in the context of a community so that I can achieve meaning. There's perfect balance. Nothing is off kilter. And now the puzzle is put back together. Not only do you start off with a vision, you now start off with the vision, right? And at that point, once we're able to bring that into the world, like we said, through Shmir Sabris, through Mariris, to bring about this Shalom, so that causes a Mesiris and Nefesh, that causes a man, that brings Shefa down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that creates an influx of clarity, an influx of Shlemus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that the clarity forces that the entire world becomes devoid of other considerations, not because they're unsuccessful, but because they just evaporate. Vizeo Perish Ritzitza. So now, plugging this back in to the initial Maimer, Ritzitza is read forward again, remind us what that initial mimer was. Give me a second. Ritzitza, we translate as a chick, demayis bebeisa, that dies in its shell, beis as a beitza. Hecha nafik rucha, where does the ruach exit? Amar lehu behindu da'al, where it came in, although we're going to read that a little bit differently in this context. Vizeo perish ritzitza, bechinas kone rotzutz. So Ritzitza is a general reference to idolatry, but where is the term Kana Ratzitz coming from? So it actually works out very well in Pnimius. I'm looking at Chaim Kramer's note. In the time of Chizkiah Melech, the Yidden were challenged by Sancheriv, who already saw this is the source of this idea by Chizkiah Melech of this Nevuah that he was going to achieve Shalom, although it was Mitoch Mariris. Over here, the Yidden were being challenged by Sancheriv. So what did they rely on? The correct way to break through Mariris would be to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rise above. Instead, they sought to form an alliance with the Egyptians, with Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was Vaymaru es Chayayim. The gullus of Mitzrayim is not one of the four gullies. It was not a punishment. It's the Klolius, the gullus. This is the Kor HaBarzel, the smelting pot. This is where the Yidden became purified to become a nation, Goyim Karavai, to go towards Har Sinai. So it's Mitzrayim Dafka. This is one of the most powerful points as a person takes a step back, that it's not good versus bad. Everything is good. Everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's up to us to know how to use it. The same place that we can go through Mariris and build ourselves and change the world and go towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's a misplaced reliance or a misapplication of that, that actually becomes the Kana Ratzitz, the Mitzriim, and the way to break through and build ourselves. The misplaced reliance on the Egyptians became a Kana Ratzitz. It's the same Kana. So over here, this is the Ritzitza, back into the text, the Ritzitza, which is representing the Kanarotzitz, the broken reed, Shehem HaAkum, which is like Mitzrayim, when they relied on Mitzrayim, instead of the Merirs being a function of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing to us to grow, instead that became misplaced reliance, right? Instead of thinking good or bad, a person that has a sports car, it could be the biggest gift, and it could be the biggest cause of his downfall, as can be wealth, as can be anything. It's the same idea, the Bracha and Klal is how we use it, how we choose to connect. So Shehem HaAkum, this is the broken reed. Shehem Rechoikim Mibichin HaZakein Seh Zekana Chachma. This kind of Ratzot, as it's applied, instead of breaking through the Mariris and attaching ourselves to Shalom, instead of attaching ourselves to Hadras Panim and Ha'aris Panim going towards Shalom, but instead it's far away from that Chachma, far away from that Hadras Panim, far away from the truth, from the Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim, where we attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rise above that Mariris towards the actual point, towards the actual purpose of the world. It's far away from Hadras Panim. V'heim dveikim b'kana ratzitz. Instead, the same kana, they were relying on a broken reed because it doesn't have power, right? It's like the reservoir goes through the shower head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends bracha through XYZ mechanism, and instead of understanding that that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers it and appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we appeal to the middle thing as a source. Well, in and of itself, it's just a broken reed. It doesn't have any stability. Although the note over here does point out that why are we referencing like this? Because there's always zelo umazeh. Actually, we talked about this entire gimel, that the same way that we have a kana that we rely on, the flip side of that idea would be a kana rotz. It's the same way that we have a kail that we are going through to kalrina, to songs. There are also the nigunim of the sitra achra. Kamosha kasuv ga'ar chayas kana. Literally, the rebuke of the wild, to rebuke the wild beast of the Kana. This is a reference to Esav in the Pasuk in Tehillim. But be that as it may, we are defining the question that the Sabbe de Be'atuna raises: how can these nations be rebuked for their avodah zarah, for their other priorities, what they're pursuing, their culture, so that they can ultimately return to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, so he goes on, Demayas Bebeyasa, that it died in its shell, but Beitusa is also a lesson of prayer. Mave, Ba is need, want, or ask. Mave is a seeker. So over here, a Beya in Aramaic could be a Beitz, it's a shell, but over here in Panemius, we're saying, Demayas Bebeyasa, Hainu Lahamis Ulevatel Beusam Utsloisam. They are praying, they are seeking, they are looking to the source of the Avodah Zarah. But over here, how can we get these other cultures, Milavakesh Oidme, instead of looking towards the Kana Ratzitz, instead of looking towards the Avodah Zarah, they will abandon it, abandon those types of prayers, those relying on the wrong source. So this is really defining the question from the Sabbe de Be'atuna. How can we get the entire world to abandon their other priorities, their other looking towards the source, their misplaced reliance, and rely only on a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And the beginning of the answer in the actual Maamar Chazal, this is really part of the question, but it's a little bit, we're changing a little how we're reading it. Hecha denafik rucha. It's where the ruach goes out. Hainu zoysa b'china yevshar lalidei tikkun habris, shu b'chinas v'loy kama oid ruach b'esh. It's a pasuk by Rachav where she's referencing the fear of the people of the land, because of understanding that Klal Yisrael was coming, and the way that she references it, that they lost, Rachav understood that they had lost their ability to their taiva in that sense, and the way that she referenced it was the loikama oid ruach be'ish. There's no more ruach in the ish. This is a reference to Tikkun HaBris, to that area. So how is it that people can achieve the Hadras Panim? By achieving, we said, Shmiras HaBris leads to Hadras Panim, and then Hadras Panim is a development of Taira Tefillah through the Yud Gimel Midais, Shetar and Drespen through Kana, which is Kol, so that represents Tefillah and Taira, leading to Hadras Panim, ultimately leading to Shalom. And so, okay, now the follow-up question, Ve'ech mapiku maitzei nitzaitzei kedusha shenaflai de'pagam abris. Okay, that's good going forward. How is the mess? How is everything that happened through the misplay, through all of the averis, how can that be rectified? V'yomer lahem, so Rabbi Shuban Hanani says, behainu da'al, though in the way that it went in, b'zeh shenichnas by ruach, in the way that the ruach went in, that is how it's going to go out. Hainu b'zeh shenichnas by ruach shtus, in the way that the ruach shtos, a person doesn't sin unless they have a ruach shtos. Hainu hirhurei znos. What's the ruach shtos? The machshavas tuma, right? In other words, if a person knows for a fact that something is true, 2 + 2 = 4, they don't have a taiva to say 2 + 2 = 5. If a person would know for a fact that somebody is trying to deceive them in a business deal or in whatever other kind of encounter, they would know exactly what's going on. They wouldn't have a taiva to pursue it. The ruach shtos is what gets a person to, if a person would know what happens when they get angry, they pursue their desires in this context, and they would literally see it. A person would see the health information at eating certain types of things, then they would lose their desire if they looked at that as a reality. So all of that is a ruach shtos when they pursued her hurez nos. But over here, humishaber tavaso, a person is able to break their taiva bazah, humapik umaiti nitzitze kedusha shel pagama bris. That's how he can redeem, as it were, lift out the nitzitze kedusha. The nitzitze kedusha are the life force, the ruchnias. Nothing can exist without trapping, as it were, a ruchnias, a life force. Otherwise, there would be no makom for it in the world. Some things we could say, how could there be ruchnias in something that's a davar ra? Because again, it's not really a davar ra, so to speak. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting it into the world so that we have a makom for bechira. We have a makom to ultimately get closer. But if there wasn't that there was a divine energy in every aspect of the world, then there would be no makom for whatever it is to exist. Kizeo bechinas tshuvas hamishkal. We're just going to make a couple of points. This is that's in the end of the Torah. Tshuvas HaMishkal, we talk about it in a couple of different ways. Over here, the note brings two ways. Over here, we're saying that the specific aveira that a person was going to fall into, he stays away from. Another way that it's addressed is that whatever hana a person had from an aveira, they're going to have that amount of pain, of effort towards the tshuva. But I think it goes actually very good in how we are, in how we've been addressing it. If a person, what is the source of pursuing her hurei avera, machshavas of tuma? Really, the ikar pagam habris, everything starts in the mind over what you find enticing, over what you're looking towards, and then that translates into something physical. If a person would rectify the truth, they would understand exactly what's yetzer hatov, exactly what's yetzer hara. Again, you can imagine somebody who is who's trying to pursue a relationship. If you would know that this person is only pursuing that relationship in order to try to gain access to your bank account, there would be no desire for that person. It would fall away. You would see behind it. When a person rectifies that aspect of their machshava, so it's not just a matter of laying down their yetzer, a matter of not pursuing it, but they actually rectify it at the source. They gain a correct perspective, so that becomes tshuvas hamishkal. At the source, they're flipping it. It's not just that they're putting down their taiva; they're actually changing what at the source of the machshava that substituted bad for good. They're now actually resubstituting. They're realigning truth instead of the falsehood. Just that. Operates. And this is, he mentions over here in the note, this idea of a redirecting of thought. Harbe, I'm just reading from the note over here, taken from Likutei Halachos and Tefillin. Harbe b'nei anurim nilku b'zeh, so many people become ensnared in this idea that they come, rachmana litzlan, machmashin min melahem, kilu ein machshavtem b'yadam chas v'shalom. What am I supposed to do? This is my desire. This is my thought. This is my approach. This is who I am. It's really not. If a person would take a step back and understand what builds their desires, it's all based on a certain mentality and understanding of the world. If you would substitute that for the truth, then these other things would fall away. One other point on Tshuvas HaMishkal, he quotes from the Siel Sarfei Kodesh. It's just an unbelievable thing to be mizbainin on, and we referenced this a little bit ago. So, Lemaisa, there's Averis in the world. It's wonderful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us an opportunity to do tshuva so that he's not going to make us deal with the consequences of our Avera. But Sof, they're in the world. They need to be dealt with. And he quotes over here that a tzaddik, the leader of the generation, he is able to bear the sins of the generations. He is able to put in the tshuva, a leader, a CEO, or whoever it is, ultimately bears the weight and bears the responsibility of the people. The tzaddik himself, if you are aligned with the tzaddik, you're part of one relationship, then the tzaddik is able to do that. Let me see if I can see it inside. Hainu shebegoydel. He quotes. Okay, he says, then you'll be able to a person himself can't necessarily achieve this tshuvas hamishkal, either because there are sins that he no longer has a relevance to, it was in his youth, or because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to get past it, so he's not dealing with it anymore, and therefore the tzaddik himself is able to take on that burden of cleaning it up and being able to help out the tshuvas hamishkal. So this is another reason to another aspect of coming close to a tzaddik. And the last line over here says zakenim mishar shavasu bachurim minigin. Mishar shavasu, that the zakenim ceased, like shavas, from the gate. Bachurim idinasam, and the bachurim from their nagina, and this is in line with our Torah. Zakenim, again, zesha kana chachma, when there was no chachma, there was no hadras panim, there was no attachment to Torah. So then, again, hadras panim is really attached to the kana, is attached to the kol. When there was no attachment to chachma, so then the emotional, the relationship, the tefillah, we lost access also. When we weren't aligned with the truth, then we lost access as well to this relationship, to the kol, to the tefillah. We were not able to achieve shalom, unfortunately, rachmanal. However, Rabbi Chaim Kramer does mention in the note that this is one of the ideas of davening at the grave sites, that the neshama of the tzaddik is the nefesh, that we're able to connect ourselves to the soul of the tzaddik, and the tzaddik who had this connection were able to realign ourselves, and that's why we say the Tikkun HaKlali, that these are the general remedy that we recite is associated with a Tikkun HaBris, and by rectifying Tikkun HaBris, that can bring us back to Hadras Panim, back to Chachma, back to the tzaddikim, so that we can ultimately achieve shalom ad kan l'shayna l'shin Rabbeinu Zal. Just to finish off the last paragraph, also an unbelievable idea that I'm sure could be really fully fleshed out. But he says, Shayach Le'el, in paragraph Yod, Vayara Hashem Batzar Lehem B'Shamos Rinasam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their affliction when he heard their Rina, Al Yidei Shmias Koylai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Raya Misha Meitzer Lo. By making his voice heard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees who it is that is afflicting him, Eza Akum, which nation, Meitzer Lanu, is giving problems, Va'amar, and Rabbeinu said, Shal Cain. I mean, this is just an unbelievable idea. Kishyesh chas v'shalom eza gzera v'tzara li Yisrael me'eza akum. When Klal Yisrael is experiencing some sort of a tzara, a constriction, a pain, an affliction from a certain nation who has this, again, a not MS, not God-aligned priorities, worldview. Azai toiv l'nagin anigin shlo isa akum shemeitzel hem chas v'shalom. This is unbelievable. I recently saw, I could see if I could find it, but a piece on the idea that so much of music, even things that chazonim sing, is coming from not a Jewish or not Haimish music per se. But he says, very interesting, music really is part of a culture. We just said before that no culture, nothing in the world can exist without nitzaitzis. We also said that the way to bring a mitukan adin is to purify at the source, which means that if you are able to take the nitzoitzis of something towards kedusha, so then everything else will fall away, won't be able to exist. How are we able to elevate the nitzoitzis within a particular culture that's bothering us, so that its power will fall away and we're able to take those nitzoitzis for our avoda? When we utilize their culture, in this case, their power of song towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the other power of the nation will fall away. V'zeu b'shamay es rinasam. Rinasam daika. That means when he heard their rina, specifically hainu rina benigan shalahem shal oisa akum shemitzel Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their songs, meaning the songs not of Klal Yisrael, but the songs of the nation that was giving Klal Yisrael problems, chas v'shalom, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. Now I'm going to read, it's, let me see if I can see the page number, page Vav. It's from Megillus Esther Matnas Chelkoi, from Matasio Salman. He brings a unbelievable idea. He says that Achashverosh HaSuda, which is worth it to mention, Achashverosh HaSuda had everything to appeal to the senses, sight, smell, and so on, taste, but why was there no music? Why was the Suda missing music? And he brings an interesting machlekes in whether or not non-Jewish music can be utilized for tefillah and so on, but over here he says, page Vav, I'm just going to read it inside because it's unbelievable. Habir b'shitas hamatirim hu she'ein shum kedusha tuma benigin mitzad atzmo. Music be'etzim does not have kedusha or tuma mishum she'anigin ein mechadish la'shemei aschala chadashish lohay lo'kodem. Music has the power to be ma'irer, to awaken, but not from the outside, only to allow something to resonate from within. Otherwise, if it was from the outside, so then we should aser any kind of music coming from any other kind of source. Rather, Shahayu Besichlo Belibai Kaidim Lachain. Music has the power to be Ma'irer. So now, really, the dangerous Kayach in music is when we have mixed up priorities, then something is can resonate, bring out those bad things. And Cain, Hakol Tolik Fitiris Leva Shemea. It's actually Tolly in the Kli, in us. Shim Leva Shemea Male Bahav Volim Vitomazis Chazaka Yidei Negan Havalim. If we're Tame on the inside, so then the Negan is bringing that out. Vim Leva Shemea Malshavas Him Dvukim Bebaris. Then actually we'll be ma'ir in the positive. And he says that's why Achashverosh didn't bring music, because actually the music would have undermined his purposes. But over here also we see something unbelievable. Again, this is a little bit of a parallel point. I was saying that even if the music was bad, so the good, the nitzaitzis would go towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything would fall away. And according to the way that Rav Matisyahu was mentioning it, the music isn't even inherently bad. So we can sort of like play around with those ideas. But just as a last takeaway, I think that we can be mizbainen. There's so many challenges in the world. There's so many tests. There's so much hardship. There's so many yisurim. There's so many taivas, the shmir sabrish issues, and it seems to be very hard. That's because we want to challenge it directly. If we would understand that this is actually a realignment of perspective, if we attach ourselves to the tzaddikim, we attach ourselves to the Torah, we attach ourselves to Chazal, we see through it all. We rise above. We look at this world through the lens of something from the outside looking in, through the lens of the Torah, through the lens of Chachma, of the Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna, that we can, the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim, the Torah. So that is how we were able to tap into that mercy of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this unbelievable, beautiful world in the first place. When things happen, we don't complain, but rather we say, thank you, Hashem. We don't understand how, but we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately fulfilling his purpose, the tachlis of the world, to give us a way to get closer to him, and therefore even the challenges be'etzem are not truly what we would deserve if we would have to deal with the consequences of what we messed up, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting. He's our biggest fan, kiviyachol, rooting for us to be able to come closer to him, and therefore the challenges, they're really a gift. It's meriris versus atzvus. They're a way that we can come closer to him, and the way to remove those challenges is to align ourselves with the purpose of Hashem. And Be'ez Hashem, a lot of him is binding on, but especially in a time of incredible conflict in the world, if we can attach ourselves, it all starts with us. If we can attach ourselves to Shalom, Be'ez Hashem, there will be Shalom and a complete Gilchui of Yehudi Yisbarach, Meher V'Yameinu soon.